Oh, Jesus. Giving honor to God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Without them, we are.
Amen.
The Lord woke us up this morning and started us on our way, so everything else is extra. Amen. Good morning, Liberty Temple. Good morning. Good morning. Amen. So, let us do two things. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read the text, and then you guys have a seat. Amen?
Amen.
So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just who you are in our lives. We thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. We thank you for clothing us in our right mind. We thank you for loving on us when we wasn't loving on ourselves. Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, their grievance to us. Anything that is not of you, Heavenly Father, take it out. And more importantly, Heavenly Father, we are praying for healing. We're praying for deliverance. And we are praying for love. As we take this time to study your word, Heavenly Father, use me to encourage, to revive, to uplift as we magnify your holy name. We are nothing without you. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. But we pray this prayer in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And then the next thing we do is go to our text. I hope you guys brought your pens and paper. Because we know that I have some scriptures for you guys to take home and study. Because as Pastor said, we're not just going to take our word for it. We're going to take the Lord's word for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So while I am getting my eyes together, I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts. Acts chapter 13, starting with verse 44, and we're going to go to verse 48. And as it reads, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. God is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I am glad to see each and every one of you here today. Thank you for your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the love last week. I was just a big baby, cried, but God is great, and I thank you for loving me. I thank you for the birthday wishes and the hugs and the cards and all the love. I thank you so much. I'm so humble. I love my church. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm just excited about it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have our paper and we have our pencils and pens because it is study time. It's the word time. Amen? Amen. All right. So the title of this message is The Process. The Process. Now, there are some scholars and businessmen may think that the process means a prepared road outlined to create excellence and success through suffering and sacrifice. That's what some scholars and some businessmen, probably the Fortune 500, probably would think, that your success is established or it is defined by a prepared road outlined to create excellence and success through suffering and sacrifice. Now, in order for your process to work, you have to have a goal. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so what are your goals? In order to have a goal, you know you need a process. God had a goal. God had a process. Christ has a goal. Christ had a process. We all have goals, and we all have process. So despite what scholars and Fortune 500 may think the process is, may define the process is, I'm going to share with you the word that the Lord gave me, what our process is. Our process is a prepared road outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. A prepared road outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. That's the process. Now, God had a process. His process began in Genesis. Now, Genesis chapter 1. I want you to write these scriptures down. If you notice, in the beginning, God created everything. He had a goal and he had a process. So he created everything, the heavens, the earth, light, the dark, the fowls, the birds, the bees, the beasts, small creeping thing, everything in the sea. However, that was God, the Father. Amen? Now, when it came to verse 26 of chapter 1, it wasn't God acting alone. It was God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, working together when he said, "Let us make man." To create. Make means to create, to conform together. And so we had corporate anointing back then in Genesis. Amen? In the beginning. Amen? Amen. So when he said in verse 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, mind you, he had made everything else of the world in its own image. Everything else was made out of its own image. The beasts, the fowl of the earth. Everything was in its own image. But when it came down to the masterpiece, hallelujah, the glorious thing, the highest volume of his creativity, he said, lets us make man in our image, in our likeness. Amen? Amen. So, and he wanted us to have dominion over everything. So let's jump to 27. He said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So everything else he made the birds, the bees, the fowls of the earth. But when it came down to making man, he wanted us made in his own image, after his likeness. What is that? His character. His mindset. Eternal life. He saw that in the beginning. And that's what he was creating man for. Amen? Amen. And then he also, now, let's go to verse 28. You guys writing this down, because I'm pulling things out of these verses. I want you to go back and study them, but I'm pulling things out for your magnification. Amen? Amen. So in verse 28, he said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, a lot of people may think that he told Adam and Eve to go ahead and be fruitful and multiply means having a bunch of kids. But that wasn't what God was talking about when he shared that with them. Okay? When he said be fruitful, that means be productive. That means to produce goodness in your life. And when he said multiply, that means don't keep it for yourself. You got to go out there and give it to everybody. Everybody needs to multiply. What is multiplication? 1 times 1 is 2. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. But that's multiplying. So the goodness, the productivity, and the production that you are to do in this world, the goodness that you're supposed to do in this world has to be multiplied. Okay? So it's not just for me to do. It's not just for you to do. It's for all of us to do it. That is us being fruitful. Amen? And then when he says to multiply, that means to go out and tell somebody else, and tell somebody else, and tell somebody else. That way we're all doing what he would have us to do. Be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, that was the plan. That was his goal. That was God's goal in the beginning. Unfortunately, man failed. The fall of man. Amen. Amen. So, in that interim, understand something. You're going to have goals. We have goals. And we know there's a process to our goals. But I want you to remember, there's going to be pitfalls. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be hills and valleys. Getting to your goal. And God showed us that when he had the magnificent plan for our lives as mankind. And then we fail. But guess what? He didn't give up on us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's shouting. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on us. So, in the interim of that, now, you know, God is already upset about the fall of man. But he knew it. He knew it was going to happen. So I'm getting you, and where I'm taking you through is the process. A prepared road, outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. So in the Old Testament, you know, they have a lot of relationships that they had in the Old Testament was, even though Jesus was there, it mainly speaks about God. So, but when they're talking about Lord God, they're talking about Jesus. And then, too, the Holy Spirit was there, too. Don't deny, don't think that the Holy Spirit wasn't. As we just spoke, when he said, let us make man, it was three of them. God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Ghost the Comforter. They were all there from the beginning, and they're all there to the end. Amen? Amen. That's everlasting to everlasting. Always is going to be the Trinity. And it's always the Trinity that's working in our lives. Amen? So there's the fall of man, and God is like, the Father is like, okay, I gotta create the process, the process, the process. Okay, so he says, okay, so there's the fall of man, but I know there's some good men out there. I know there's some good men out there. I created man in my image. So I know there's some good men out there that's going to be able to take this, carry this process through. Okay, so Genesis 9, chapter 1, we'll go to real quick. And that verse. So this is one of the first men that he thought would be able to bring the people back. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. See, that goal that he had for mankind, it didn't change. He looked to Noah and he said, Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Noah, this is your charge. This is what you're supposed to give the people. Unfortunately, we know what happened. So much chaos and so much discontent and so much enmity between God and man. God put his wrath down on the earth, which caused the flood. 40 days, 40 nights. He cleared the whole earth. Mountains, hills, and valleys. Everything was clear. He was done. I do not want to be bothered with mankind because they don't have it. But he decided that he remembered his goal. He remembered his goal. And then remembering his goal, you know what he had decided to do? He decided to have a covenant. And he told Noah. Then we go to verses 9. Verses 9 through 15. You guys got that written down? Okay. So, this is one of the first covenants that Jesus made with mankind. One of the first agreements. I know they use another agreement, and we'll get to that. But this is one that's very important because he made a covenant with Noah and the people. And he said he would not destroy the earth again with the water, through the flood. And to remind God of the covenant that he made with the people, there's that rainbow. Yay! The rainbow. Whenever it rains, whenever it storms, it comes down, you look outside and you see the rainbow, which is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But that is not only reminding himself, but reminding us that he said he would not destroy this earth again with water. See, God keeps his word. And he remembered his goal. We have to do the same. Amen. Amen. And then we move on. That was one man. And then we move on, and then, of course, you know, Noah had his challenges, but what man don't? We all have our challenges. We all fall short. Amen? Amen. So then we move on to Abraham. And And I think a lot of people think how Abraham can relate to God is for this, probably this particular reason. God tested Abraham. He didn't tempt him. He tested him. There is a difference. He asked him to bring your only son. Now, you know, Abraham had two. But when God was talking to him, he said, bring your only son, the one that you love so much. Okay? This is the one that you put out there. Look at my son. This is my boy. My only. I love him so much. And here is the comparison. God sends his son, his only, that he loves so much. And I think that's where in Hebrews, where they have the comparison of Abraham and God, how God, they became great friends. Because they can relate. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. Not so much as God wanted to take away the love of his heart, but he wanted to know, how much do you really love me? See, sometimes we get people, we put people before God. And the very one, from very ones that we put before God, he will take them away from you. He's a jealous God. He does not change. Don't serve no one before him. That means your children, your spouse, significant others, your job, your home, your car. Nothing is to go before Christ, God, before God, before God, before God. Nothing. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So in doing this, and Abraham being obedient, he goes, and you guys know the story, he goes up on the hill, and after all that, he named the mountain God Will Provide. He goes up there, and he prepares the altar, because back in the day, that's what they did. They prepared the altar for burnt offerings to offer up to God. And just when he getting ready to strike the child, an angel comes and says, no. I want to see how much you love me. That was his test. He passed his test. Because there's always a ram in the bush. Remember that when you're going through on your road, prepared. When you're going through, remember God always has a ram in the bush for you. But you have to trust him. This is the process. Trusting. And our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. So because he did that, there was another covenant that God made. He said that I will, your offspring will be innumerable. From the sky to the sea. But he said, the covenant is he will bless even your offsprings. Amen? Yeah. All of them will be blessed. But here's the thing. He's still man. And the people around him are still doing, God knows what they're doing. Okay? Because you read on further, there's Lot and all that other stuff going on. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah. Whew, I'm telling you. Now, he said he wasn't going to consume the world with water again, but he done tore up some cities with that fire. He done tore them up. He said he not going to mess with you no more on the flood, but fire, you better be watching out for that one. Amen. 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 So then, as we can look, now, mind you, this is God's role, his prepared role, outline. He's outlined it to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. So then we move on to Moses. And Moses was special to him as well. Now, remember, God's goal is to get man back to what they were supposed to be originally doing, is being fruitful and multiplying. And all they was doing was multiplying. No fruit was being created. So then he allowed them to be captive. You know, now we are in Egypt, his chosen crew. And they are in bondage, they're in Egypt, and swing low, swing chariot. Yeah, Father, when are you going to come back and get me? So then, now mind you, God hears and knows everything. He knows what you're going through. And understand something, if you can't utter a word because you've been crying so long, that's okay. Because he heard you in your utterances. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So remember, prayer is not always being eloquent in our speech. And that's what the problem that Moses had. He wasn't an eloquent speaker. He didn't think that he would be able to reach the people because he didn't know how to speak. And God said, use me. Yeah. I will be able to speak for you. Well, who sent me? I am. He was then and he is today. I am. And so are you. You are special. And we're going to tell you why. So as Moses was used to bring the people out of bondage, and God was with him all the days, and as they come out of bondage, they were still. You know how people can be, you do something for somebody, and you're doing this out of the kindness of your heart, because that's just who you are, and that's how God made you to be, and you come across and do something for somebody, and they act like you owed it to them, and they don't even have to say thank you. And we have that problem today. You know, some of our relatives, some of our friends, some of our coworkers, some of our children act like you owe them something because you did this out of the kindness of your heart. Well, guess what? That's what the Israelites thought. That's what they felt about God. You know, help us, help us, help us. And then when he brought them out, we want to go back. Really? But I thought you didn't like it back there. Oh, but it was better than this. Better than what? Fear is a liar. And when you do not know the unknown, that's when that enemy tries to tell you, you ain't gonna like it up there. Don't go forward because it ain't gonna be no good. You might as well go back where you was. At least you knew what was going on. Really? I knew what was going on, but was I happy? Was I feeling the love? Was I satisfied? Was I able to grow? Look at those things that hold you back, the bondage. We all have personal bondages, have had personal bondages that have kept us down. But remember, once you got out of that, it wasn't so bad anyway. What? Ooh, I'm so glad I ain't there no more. Jesus, that bondage, boy, I tell you. So Moses was trying to be the leader that God would have him to be. But the people was just something. Unfortunately, we're going to go through that. Unfortunately, of course, you know what happened. They walked and walked and walked and walked. And walked and walked and walked and walked. But God still kept his goal. The process. He had to go through it. And that's what he's showing us today, is that I had to go through it. In a minute, you're going to see about Jesus having to go through it. And we're nothing different. We are his image. That's how he created us. So we're going to have to go through it. Amen? Amen. So now, understand something. When these men of God were trying to, they were handpicked by God. They all were handpicked by God. And as he went forward, he knew that it was his hand that had to pick them, knowing that no one was perfect, because why? We're all born into sin. Amen? Amen. Now, this one particular person that he picked, I was amazed by it. His name is Phinehas. Phinehas was Aaron's grandson. Look in Numbers chapter 25. Write that down. Numbers chapter 25. Phinehas was Aaron's grandson. And at this time, they were the Israelites, okay, because we're still dealing with Moses and the Israelites coming out of the bondage of Egypt. But they were starting to worship all of these idols. They was worshiping the idols of Baal and Asherah. I mean, they was just going off church charts, doing all kind of diabolical things. And God got so mad, and he says, all of the priests, bring everybody out. And then they were commingling, okay, cohabitating. And what God was saying was, y'all not supposed to cohabitate with those outside of this camp here. You are Israelites, so you're not supposed to be cohabitating with the Midianites and the Zezabites and the Gigabites and all of those bites. You're not supposed to be commingling with them. But they did it anyway, disobedient, okay? And because of their disobedience, God got mad, and he said, everybody is commingling, bring them out into the court, and I want to see everybody get killed who commingling. I'm like, God is woo. He ain't no joke back in Old Testament. I mean, he put the wrath down on you. The wrath was on you. Amen? Amen. So, to make a long story short, he telling all of the priests, and everybody's scared. Everybody's scared to move. Even Moses, they sitting up there wailing because they know they about to wrath. He about to bring a wrath on them. He's going to destroy them. He said he would. And everybody's sitting up here crying and stuff. And then here's this Israelite bold going to take a Midianite, and they just going to say, bump. Now, mind you, backtrack. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Remember, they done built the tabernacle of Moses. Okay? So now they are out in the court. They are out in the assembly here. And the Israelite and this Midianite woman, he going to take her like he taking her, you know, behind the curtains. He going to take her right in God's face. Right in front of the prophet's face. But this priest, Phinehas, Aaron's grandson, he said, oh no, he ain't. Drew his sword, went down there in the court and said, killed the man and the woman. Killed them dead. That's what God said do, though. And because he did what God had instructed him to do, that was another covenant that he had put in Aaron's line and said that I will forever bless your line with priesthood because you obeyed what I told you to do. See, every time God tells you to do something, it is not always going to be peaches and roses. And it's not going to be all good things. It's not going to always make you look good. But as long as you're listening to what the Father has for you to do, and you be obedient to His word, then you will be able to come out on roses. Give Him a hand clap of praise. See, we don't always want to do the hard work. You know, you be, I'ma tell you, you don't always want to do the hard work, but sometimes you have to. This week I was told, you have to discharge somebody. You got to let somebody go. Now, I liked the young lady. She was good. But at the same time, she was out of order as her job description said for her to be. And I had to do that darn dirty thing. And I had to let her go. And it wasn't so much that, see, Phinehas didn't say God said do it. He just went and did. See, sometimes we have to go, we try to take ourselves back and say, well, it wasn't me. It was so-and-so who really wanted to let you go. No. You're given a directive. You follow that directive. It's not about, well, so-and-so said that, so I'm just doing it. No, don't be scared. Don't be. Stand on authority boldly. And that's what Phinehas did. He just went and killed. He heard the word of the Lord. And he did not want his family to be suffered. I heard the word of my supervisor. And I went on ahead and executed. I didn't say, well, doctor said you had to go. No, you got to go. That's just it. You did not do what your job description the law said that you should be doing. And then you move on. See, we have to be bold in our instructions and our actions. Amen? Amen. So, that was the covenant that God made in Aaron's line of priesthood. Amen? Remember, God has a goal, but He's going through the process, a prepared role outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. Amen? Amen. So then, oh my gosh, now we're getting into the lineage of David, the lineage of Jesus. Amen? So God saw that all these men that He done brought out from judges and everything, these judges and judges, He decided, sometimes you look at men on the outside, the caliber of a man, and think that that's what you want. And what He decided to do this time was He's going to look at the heart of the man. And in Him looking at the heart of man is how He chose David. Amen? Amen. So by Him choosing David, David was able to be the king that God wanted him to be. But of course we know David had his concerns and issues as well. Amen? So David wanted to build, when he became statuarius, he wanted to build God a house of worship. Because the tabernacle had been going from place to place, tent to tent, you know, everywhere that the Israelites went, the tabernacle went with the Ark of the Covenant went with them. So David wanted to build a house for God because he got this royal house. And God had to remind him, I don't want you to build a house for me. I want you to build the people for me. I need you to be set the example. I need you to be who I called you to be to the people who I have chosen. That's who I want you to usher in. I want you to usher in the people, not the things. And we have to be reminded that God don't look at our things, our outwardness. He looks at our heart. Remember, we have to be fruitful and multiply. And that's what He would have us to do. So He told David point blank, well, through Nathan, but He told David, nope, you're not going to build me a house, but I'll have one built through your lineage, through your line. I'm going to make a great dynasty through your line. As long as you are doing what I would have you to do, as long as your line do what I have you to do. As a matter of fact, through your line, he's going to be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, there's Isaiah. He has still had to use prophets to encourage because the kings wasn't doing it. Well, they were doing it, but you know, there was sometimes in. You know how you jump rope? Sometimes I'm going to be in, sometimes I'm going to be out. And then those things God still frowned upon, but he still needed a mouthpiece for the people. And in the mouthpiece for the people, he chose Isaiah to be the one to really bring it home for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So write this scripture down. Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. And I also want you to write Isaiah 49. And 6. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah is like the great commission of the Old Testament. You know, when Jesus came in on the scene on the New Testament and the Gospels, he gave the great commission to the disciples. Amen? Okay, so Isaiah is pretty much the great commission of the Old Testament. That is encouraging the Israelites of the Savior that is coming. Amen? Amen. And what you have to look forward to. They also talked about it, and Isaiah also talked about what you were going to have to endure for being so disobedient.
Right.
Okay. But the latter part of Isaiah spoke about how God loved still his people. Staying on the plan, staying on the goal. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now we're getting ready to get on the scene. We saw God's process, the road that he had prepared. So now we're going to look at Jesus' process, the road that he had prepared. I want you to write this scripture down. Matthew 3:13-17. Now, at this particular time, Jesus is just getting ready to start his ministry, but he knew that there was a process that he had to make. He had a goal. You know what his ultimate goal was, but he had to go through the process. And him going through the process meant that he had to be baptized. Now, we talked about what Isaiah was giving the encouragement to the people, but Jesus came to fulfill those prophetic words, those words of encouragement, those words to let you know that it's going to be a brighter day. Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. Amen? Amen. So, once Jesus was baptized by John, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came down and rested on Jesus' shoulder. And God spoke and said, "This is my son whom I am well pleased." Guess what he did? He got him ready for the process. Amen. Amen. So then, write this scripture down. Luke 4:18-21. Jesus is in the synagogues. He's just getting ready to start his ministry. He has started his ministry. And everybody was like, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And Jesus point blank told him exactly that. And for that sake, I have to read that. Because I really like that part. How Jesus did it. This is how he did it. What did I say? 18 through 21. It says, now this is Jesus talking. He's talking to the Jews. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That means everything that they talked about in the past in the Old Testament, I'm here and I'm doing it. That's what I'm supposed to do. Amen. And that's his process. That was Jesus' process, because he knew what his goal is. Now, and I'm going to tell you to write this trip scripture down. John 16:31-33. I'm going to tell you to write these scriptures down, and then we're just going to go forward. John 17:1-5. Acts 8:26-35. Start with John 16. He's getting ready to leave his disciples. He's no longer talking in code. He's no longer talking in parables. He's being straight up with his disciples and saying, look, this is all that I have taught you. I hope it's everything that you are taking heed to, everything that I have taught you, because now we're getting ready to go to another level. And they like, okay, I understand it now because you're talking to me in layman's term, but what level are you getting ready to go to? And he says, behold, you need to pay attention. Now, and then John 17:1-5, Jesus knows he's getting ready to be offered up. He's getting ready to be betrayed, and he's getting ready to be turned over and crucified. But he reminded God, is remember what the goal was from the foundations of the earth. Remember what we said we were going to do. We were making man in our image, and they were going to be fruitful and multiply. So I came down here because nobody else could do that. I was not sin. I became sin for them. So, Father, remember that, because I know what I'm getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to walk that last mile. So I need you to remember that, because I'm ready to come back up to my glory spot where I was, because I was happy right there where I was. But I want you to remember that I said I would do this, and this is what I'm doing. So you need to be with me, because I'm in human form right now. I'm not realizing that I got to go through mess. I'm not understanding that I got to go through problems. I got to go through traumas, turmoil, sacrifices. I'm not remembering that because I'm human. I done took on a different form here. I don't know nothing about this form, God, but you, Father, but you told me that you would be with me and you'd never leave me nor forsake me. But I'm not sure about this form, because right now I'm not understanding this. I got to do something that I really don't want to do. But I need you to be with me. And I'm ready to be offered back up to you. See, that was his prepared road, outline to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. This is what Christ did for us. Amen. Amen. And did I give y'all Acts 8:26-35? Okay. So after Jesus has done what he has done on Golgotha Hill, and he was buried and for 3 days, and he rose with all power and interceding, and had to go back and prove to his disciples what he had been saying all along, because they still didn't believe, even though they were walking with him all along. But you see, they were blinded Because they didn't hear, they were not seeing with the spiritual eye. Amen. They were seeing with the physical eye. And then we have to remind ourselves that it is always not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. Amen. Amen. So in Acts 8:26, you have the story of Philip, which is another disciple. Now they're going out. Now in Acts, which is the history, they're going out and they're spreading the word. Because see, now he does like, look, see my hands? I got holes. See the side? I'm pierced. It's me. I told you I was rising on the third day and I'm here. Now go. He told them, go out into all world. He said, go to the uttermost part of the world and spread the gospel, baptizing everyone in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He told them to go. So now here they are in Acts and they're going. Only problem is they're only going in Jerusalem. They're not going everywhere. They're only in Jerusalem. So Philip comes across a eunuch who's sitting here reading Old Testament scripture. And then he said, what is this am I reading? Am I reading about Isaiah or am I reading about, you know, you? He's like, no, you're not reading about them. You're reading about Jesus. This is the good news. This is the gospel. The good news. And so then he says, wow, really? Well, what else I got to do? Well, let's go ahead and do it. Get out the clerics and let's be baptized. And now we can go ahead and move forward. Letting you know that was God's process. Amen. And then now right after that, Saul is converted. Because Jesus says, why are you persecuting my people? And then Saul is like, I don't know. That's just what I was taught. We have to remember these learned behaviors we're giving our children. Everything that we teach them don't make it all good. So we have to be mindful that it does not come back to bite us on the butt like it did Saul. You know why? Because in Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, Jesus said, I want Paul to know exactly what it means to suffer in my name. After he had persecuted so many Christians, he had to learn what it was like to be persecuted himself. Amen? Amen. So when we're going through these things, remember your process. Any goal that you have, there is a process. Amen? Amen. And then the conclusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 through 17. To have a goal, you need a process. To reach your goal, you need to go through the process. And after all Paul had been going through and going through and going through, he remembered that we need to encourage those that are going through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he wanted us to remember what God and what Christ and the Holy Ghost went through so that we will continue to want to run this race, have a goal, and endure the process. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, it says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved, the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, by our letter. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and deed. God is saying, Paul is reminding the members of Thessalonica, and it still holds true today. All that God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost have done in the beginning is still being done today. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be fruitful, and you're supposed to multiply. That's your goal, and you have a process to that goal. What is the goal? Be fruitful and multiply. Right. Wake up. And the process is a prepared road outlined to create eternal life through salvation from the Savior. Amen? That is our process, and that is our goal. We are to do good, we're to be productive, and we need to multiply. Not clone, but multiply. We have to make sure that everyone in our circle are doing good. We got to make sure everyone around us is doing what God would have us to do, and that is to do good. Be productive. Okay? Tell the good news. Tell how good God is, how he has been to you, and not only by telling it, but showing it in your walk. Because of everything else that God has done, is doing, will do, it's all centered around love. The love that he has for us, we are to give it away. Amen? Everyone on your feet. The goal is to be fruitful and multiply. And the process, remember the process. Amen. Take your neighbor by the hand.
For surely I have come forth in these last days to establish my covenant with my people. My covenant is my love, it's my strength, my joy, and my peace. I have said that thou shalt be fruitful and multiply in the earth. As far as being fruitful, the fruit of my spirit, the love, the goodness, the joy, the long-suffering, the peace, the grace, these things have I manifested within your life, that you might multiply in character, that men and women might know that the Lord Jesus that died and rose on the third day is still alive and well in the earth, creating a body of believers just like him. The Father said, for I shall have many just like my firstborn. Therefore, my children, I would say unto you and unto all of you, that you would lift up the name of Jesus, not just with your mouth, but with your lifestyle, with your walk, with your character, with the nature of God that is within you. And you shall see things turn around for you. You shall see things happen. I will make things happen because I will establish my covenant in your faith. And without faith, you cannot please me. And understand, as I convert with you and covenant with you, you shall see me as I am, and not what you want to see. Therefore, my people, glorify me, not just in your flesh, but glorify me in your spirit, and you shall see the heavens open up to thee, and the blessings shall manifest themselves in and out of your life. So therefore, praise me in your trouble, praise me in your pain, praise me in your hurt, praise me in your aches, praise me in your tribulation, praise me in all the problems that you have, and you shall see that the problem is not a problem, but it's a stepping stone to victory, saith God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, you are raising up a body of believers unlike any has ever seen. Lord God, we are being tried as like a fire. But Lord God, we know that in the midst of the fire, you are purifying us. You are separating us for some greatness, Lord God. And that greatness is that men might look into our eyes and look down into the very depths of our soul and see you, see the love of God, see the peace of God, see the mercy of God, see the strength of God by looking into our eyes, which are the airways or the stairway to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would establish your covenant with us like never before. Father, that we might no longer be twain, but we might become one. Lord God, you said, well, there are two or three gathered in your name, there should you be in the midst of them. So there are many of us here, Father, but we are worshiping in spirit and in truth. Therefore, Lord God, let us see that we are the sons of God. Father, not by our lips, but through our power, through our authority and our dominion that we have in you, because we have faith to believe that we can do all things through you, because you have strengthened us. So, Father, bless your people today. Lord God, if there's any sick among you, let us still be healed in the name of Jesus. Let no one leave out of this building the way they came. If they came in discouraged, let them leave encouraged. If they came sick, let them leave healed. If they came broken hearted, let them be hearted and be healed. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move by your spirit, Lord God. Let the very power of God come forth from the north, south, east, and the west. Let it take the strength of the earth flow up into our bodies, Lord God, strengthening our muscles and our bones. Lord God, right now I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor for all good things coming from above. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
If you